Welcome to the Roadmap to Wealth podcast, the number one show for people who are looking to learn how to create passive income and achieve financial independence for you and your family. I'm your host, Elena Morel, entrepreneur, international real estate investor, speaker, and author of Make Millions Retire Young, the ultimate global real estate investor's guide. Let's go now to today's episode. Welcome to another episode of Roadmap to Wealth, and today we are going to talk with Judy Liebman. Judy has been investing in New York City real estate for over 20 years. In 2018, she became a real estate salesperson and is enjoying working with clients and guiding them through the buying, selling, and renting process. Welcome, Judy. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, Elena. It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much.
So, tell me about the time you started the business. How did it all start?
So as you mentioned, I've been buying and selling real estate in New York for myself for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that I was starting to have a lot of people ask me questions about what I was doing, and I was referring them to other salespeople, and I was always interested in the market. And I thought that instead of sending those people out into the wild west of real estate, I would get my license and counsel them and help them directly.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I see. So what was the hardest challenge when you started?
I have to say, I think the hardest challenge for me was getting in the mindset of working for commission. That, you know, in the past, in all of my own businesses that I've had, I've always had contracts or some kind of known entity as to, you know, what income I would be bringing in. So that was, you know, that was a challenge for me to get used to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see. And what makes you feel passionate about your business?
I think helping people. I really, you know, in everything that I've done in my past, I've always enjoyed, one of the main parts of it was working with people and helping them and guiding them. And, you know, if I look back into my past, I was very lucky when I first purchased my first property that my sister, who had been dating an accountant at the time, mm-hmm. He had counseled her to buy something instead of renting. And I think, you know, the mindset for maybe my generation in the US is you're a woman and you start a career and then you get married and then you buy a home and then you have children. Mm-hmm. And I sort of flipped it around in my head when my sister mm-hmm. bought a property when she wasn't married. And I thought, wow, why am I spending money on rent? I'm going to do the same thing. And I felt like that was an important message to share. And for me, it was a way of kind of leveling the playing field with people who have wealth, you know, that come from money, people who don't come from money. It puts you in a place where you've got equity that you can build on for your life. So for me, you know, helping people see that connection or that path in a different way and understanding that owning property is a way to kind of level out the playing field between people who were born with wealth and people who have come into wealth, and that having equity in property is really important to growing your wealth in general.
Okay, thank you very much for this. So tell me about a project or an accomplishment that you consider to be the most significant in your life.
I mean, I think I'll stray away from real estate and being an entrepreneur for a minute and talk about my family.
Yes, of course.
So I would say the biggest accomplishment in my life are my two daughters. And I mean, everything that I do for my business to help other people, the underlying is always building a future for my kids and, you know, leaving a legacy for them. So actually, before we had this podcast, I was listening to a voicemail for my younger daughter, whose initials are SAS, which is SASS. Yeah. And she fits the bill of sassy. So she calls me all the time, leaves me these messages. And I was listening to this one and I was actually hysterically laughing when I finished the message. She was telling me she had been visiting her grandmother and she was telling me that she was jumped by my grandmother's cat. And so like her perspective on things are just so funny. And she said, he jumped me twice. And the second time he jumped me, he tripped over his toy and it set off, you know, the toy had an alarm. And so this alarm was going off. And I mean, it just the way she tells a story is
funny.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, so, I see. Yeah.
That's my biggest accomplishment, raising two strong, independent women.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. But you know, I started my real estate investment too, business based on the fact that I need to raise my son and build in the future for him. So yes, we do more things for those who we love more than for ourselves.
Yes, I agree. And I know I was very interested in your story because I feel like we have a lot of things in common in that way. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
What is the best experience you had since you became an entrepreneur?
I think, you know, being able to manage my schedule has been amazing for my lifestyle. You know, I think these days people are, quote, always working. And I feel that I always have my head in the game, but I'm able to kind of segment my life in a way that makes sense for me and my business. You know, I can go to the grocery store at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday and experience, you know, no lines, and I can take a fitness class and not have someone right next to me. And, you know, in New York, those are really huge achievements because it's so crowded here. So having any space is really at a premium. So, you know, again, I can connect with clients at a time that works for me and works for them. And I'm not sort of sitting in an office watching the clock or feeling like I could be doing something more important or, you know, utilizing my time better.
Okay, thank you. I agree with you, but because when I lived in London, it was more or less the same story. Here in Barcelona, it's a little bit different. Life is more calm here, you know.
I know. I'm very jealous of that lifestyle.
Yeah, Barcelona last life is great. That's why I mostly live here, but sometimes I have to go to London. So.
Right.
So now it's a tricky question. What if you were to go back when you were young and you just started your business, what would you do differently?
You know, I think I would say in terms of my own personal investments, I think I took a huge leap, like I was explaining earlier, to buy something when really the mindset wasn't to buy. But I bought a studio, and I wish that I had bought a two-bedroom or a brownstone in Park Slope. I wish I had a bigger scope on the horizon and a better understanding of kind of the ebb and flow of the retail market, the real estate market, sorry, that, you know, if I had a two bedroom, I could have gotten a roommate and I could have gained equity, you know, having a more expensive place or a brownstone and rented something out. And again, I guess I would have done it bigger. I did it, but I did it a little smaller than I would have done it if I could do it again.
Yes, it's also one of mistakes of the beginner who start in real estate investment. They're scared to grow and do some more investment, something more important. They just
Like the action of doing it is what you feel is important. But in fact, if you thought about it a little bit more, you could do it bigger. And that I counsel my clients on that too. I say, you know, I have a client who is in his 20s and he makes a great salary, and I've convinced him not to rent and to buy. And you know, he's talking about a studio or one bedroom. And I say, no, you're skipping the studio and one bedroom. It's a two bedroom or, you know, or bigger for you. And he's sort of coming around to understanding why that would be.
Or sometimes beginners do everything and at once and go very quickly, and they can also do some mistakes. It's the other possibility. Either they're very scary or they want to do everything at the time, and it's not a very good plan either.
Right, exactly. Everything in moderation, right?
Yes, of course. Okay, so if your business collapsed today, what would you do next? Tricky question again.
Right. I mean, I really love what I'm doing now, but I suppose if I had the opportunity to do anything, and I guess that's a little different than it collapsing, because that might mean like some kind of bankruptcy, but I think I would follow your direction and do a lot more traveling. You know, I used to travel a lot in my past. I started my career in product design and product development, and I had the opportunity to travel internationally through Europe and Asia working with artisans and factories. And I just really enjoyed seeing countries, not just as a tourist, but as like a, you know, a partner. So yeah. I would love to get back out there and look around some more.
But you know, real estate investment actually is the path to discover the moon, because it's what I've done before. You know, I invested in 16 countries actually. And when the people ask me why, for me, I just don't know how to explain why, because for me, it's obvious.
Right. That's why you're a leader.
So obvious for me, I just don't know how to explain something. It's obvious. It's better to have a real estate everywhere.
Right, of course.
It's only right. One place. You see, it's like with stocks, the same thing.
Yes, exactly. I was just thinking that. I was thinking about my equity, where it's, you know, being managed all over the world, that you can't just invest in one company in one country. But, you know, I think that's hard for Americans because...
Yes, I know. That's why actually I wrote my book, because, yes, you see, just a small example. In 2008, when was a disaster in the United States, yes, Asia market was just as it was. It was nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There was there was no consequences. In France, neither. We didn't have any consequences of it. But Spain, it was the same disaster like in the United States. So you see, if you have your investment in different countries, even if one part of the world collapses, the other one will still there. So you don't need to... So you'll not have to sell, or you will not be ruined in the end of the day. You just need to wait till the crisis passes. It's all.
Right, right. But so I have a question for you about that, because that is very interesting to me. So if you're living in a country far away and you're owning property, what do you? How do you recommend that you manage that property? Like, should you get a local management company?
Yes, of course. And it's also an advantage, you see, because for the young entrepreneur in real estate investment, they're scared to delegate. They don't know how to delegate. But if you have to do it in a long distance, you have to learn how to delegate.
Right.
So you do your mistake once, twice, three times, four times, and then you learn how to delegate, and then you just scale.
Right. And do you recommend that people travel to visit their property on occasion, or it depends?
It really depends. Because sometimes you can just buy its own, you know, you have partners after this. And sometimes you just buy and sell rent only using your local team, you see?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And of course, when you start, you go slowly. But
right.
Normal, okay?
Right, so of course.
What I would give out as a counsel, how to start in international. First of all, pick up a place, a country or a city where you want to do it. You see, it's logic. And start to learn the market. Of course, you learn the market. Learn what are pros and cons, because each country and each city has its pros and cons. And they're different from American market. Every country has some specifics. And playing on the specifics, you can take all the benefits and protect it from something negative. You know, you can play on it. So, learn, do your homework, learn your country where you'd like. For example, I know that a lot of Americans would like to invest in France. It's like a dream. I don't know. They love France. So, yes, the French market has some very good specifics. It's very stable. It's pretty difficult to lose the money here. But tenant protection law is very strict. So you see
there's
a lot of different specifics you have to know. So once you see it's okay, why don't go there on vacation? Because it's already your country you'd like to invest. And you take your vacation, you visit, you make some ideas, and you meet local realtors, local contractors, you know, just
meet some
networking locally. And then you do your first deal, and then you will see how it works. The same thing, you have your broker, your insurance broker, and then you have to make the second, the third, and you see. And give you permission to discover the world.
Yeah.
Live different lives, if you will. It's just great.
I know, I do. It's funny, I was laughing when you said that Americans love France, and I was just in Paris last summer with my daughter. That was our trip when she turned 13, which was an amazing trip. And I hadn't been there in years, but it's just funny because, you know, Americans and French, sometimes they say they don't like each other, but I agree. It was a fabulous place to be. And
Just because when I go in the United States, when I've said this, that I'm from Paris. When I have said them that now I live in Barcelona, they are also very.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes. Well, it's a nice connection because I work for a brand, an international lifestyle brand called Engel and Folkers, and we are all around the world. So that is, you know, a perfect opportunity for me to invest.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And for my clients too, because we have a whole connection of international agents. So
yes, and Asia, for example, it's absolutely great for profits because equity is bigger and rental yield is higher.
Right.
Europe, for example. So again, what you're looking for, you know, for example, Philippines, now it's a very nice place. It's a real estate developing good and real fund yield is great. So you see, just your taste, where you want to go, just pick the place, study markets, and then every place has some advantages. And also, it's what you have to know that sometimes if you acquire property, even it's an investment property, even it's not very expensive property, some countries can give you a residential status. And what does it mean? Right. It means that you can have access to medical insurance for free and some other benefits, for example, European benefits. For example, Spain, it can be something like $100,000 property. It's something very cheap, even 40.
Right.
Right. But then you can ask for this. It's temporary residence. But this temporary residence can give the possibility to make health insurance and also access to higher education, which is free.
That's amazing. I had no idea. That's such important information.
It's very important, and I know that people don't know about it. So you see, and the same thing, it can be in Germany. In Germany, it has some specifics, but education in Germany is free too, university education. In France, also, university education is totally free. You just have to pay the insurance something like $300 a year, and that's all. And also,
I wonder they have so much money to invest in America. Now I get why they're why they all have some extra cash.
So you see, if you know all the things, you know, you can switch on in between. You know, it's in this country it's better to do this, and in another country it's better to do this. But one country is better for short-term lease, and another is for long-term lease. Something is better for, I don't know, storage facilities. You see,
You have to figure out what the benefits are. You have to understand the economy there.
You have to understand where you are actually on your real estate investment path, and this create your project, and then do your homework, study markets, and invest some money, of course, time, but with pleasure, of course. Go visit them, and after this. It can be a very, very pleasure life, actually. It's a best lifestyle, like too, yes.
Yeah,
because
sure.
you visit, you discover, and then, I don't know why people say, why you invest in so many countries? Why you just don't stay in France?
Right, yeah, no, it clearly makes a lot of sense to be doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Can you please share a person that has an impact on you as an entrepreneur, on someone who mentored you? How did they influence you, and in which way?
You know, I feel like your questions are very provocative, I mean, in a good way. And I think I would say that it was my dad. He was always very entrepreneurial. His parents were immigrants, and they moved to the U.S. from Eastern Europe. And they immediately opened a grocery store, and he worked in that store his entire, you know, childhood and teenage years up until college. And he also was incredibly entrepreneurial and always encouraged my sister and me to, you know, start businesses. And in fact, my parents started a jewelry business, and I worked for them begrudgingly as a child. And he would involve us in every aspect of the business, on buying trips, on determining which merchandise we should be selecting, on promotions, on working with customers, and really teaching us that, you know, without customers and good employees, you really have no business. So he was doing innovative things, like he had a radio station come to his store once to broadcast live there. And he did a promotion where we froze, you know, we made ice cubes and we put cubic zircons in all of the ice cubes, except for a few where there was a real diamond. And so wow. When people made a purchase, they would, you know, pick an ice cube and we would melt it and he would test it. And, you know, people were so excited to for the opportunity to win a diamond. And so, yeah, I think he really, really taught me how, you know, the different aspects of running a business and really what it means to be passionate about something.
Yes, I absolutely agree with your best examples, I think, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
And now, maybe some piece of advice, or what do you think? Why people believe that if they start a business, it can be a failure? Why do you think the people think it's difficult?
You know, I think there are a lot of reasons, and starting a business is difficult. And for people to think that it isn't difficult is maybe the number one failure. But I also think that it's really important to have a plan, and a realistic plan. You know, I was at a training seminar last week in Boston with Engel and Folkers, and they talk about how I think only 3% of people who start a business create a business plan. And I mean, it's the same kind of thing that if you're going to travel somewhere and you get in your car and you don't know where you're going and you don't use a map. And I know, I mean, your podcast is called Roadmap to Wealth. So you understand that you need a path. So I think people fail because they don't have a business plan, or maybe their business plan is not realistic. And when they hit a road bump, you know, they give up, or they think this isn't going to work, instead of saying, okay, this was a challenge for me, and I'm going to understand why it was a challenge, and now I'm going to surpass it. So actually, the other day, I was talking to someone who is what we call in the US a FISBO, which is for sale by owner.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I reached out to him. I like that term for some reason. But anyway, I reached out to him and I asked him a lot of questions. And I said, why don't you want to use a real estate agent? And he said, you know what, I don't want to offend you. It's your industry. And I don't want to, you know, make you feel bad. And I said, honestly, by not telling me, that's what makes me feel bad. I need to know what the challenges are in my career with people who feel uncomfortable about using a real estate advisor. So, you know, we had a great conversation, and I think people run away from no instead of going towards no to find out how they get to yes, or how they, you know, get past that. And that's leads to failure.
Yes, there are a lot of things that can lead to failure. But for me, for example, I think, it, as you said, they just didn't do their homework and just started, because they picked some idea and without any knowledge, no education, they just started to build something without even knowing where they go. So it's one of the reasons. And sometimes they also can pick some wrong partners. Because, well, you know, people on the beginners sometimes like to partner with somebody because they feel scared of being alone. And they think that if they partner with somebody, it will be easier. Actually, it's not. It's like a marriage, actually, yes?
Right, of course.
Yes, and to pick up a great partner, it's difficult.
Right. We both know that.
We both know that. So that's why it's important. And, you know, when you're all by yourself, it's better to find good mentors.
Right, exactly. Yes. And, yep. Right.
Then to find a partner that will be like you, or even worse, they just stop working and you legally bound with them, you know,
Yeah, and a lot of times people pick a friend or someone they care about rather than someone who has experience. They're doing a bad job of picking their partners, like you said, because they're using them for the wrong reasons.
It was my experience. It was my husband. And it was, no, the business was good and the marriage was a disaster. So.
Right. It happens.
It happens, yeah. So what do you think, what your skills or habits helped you to become successful?
You know, I think especially in real estate, one of the most important skills is really listening. You know, people are telling you what their fears are. They're telling you what they're looking for. They're telling you what their hopes are, what their, why they're purchasing something. And it's so important to listen. And also, I think it's really, for me, I mean, I like to make people laugh, and I really like to engage with people and find out their whys and, you know, just have a good time when I'm working. Yeah. And for me, I like to be around people that feel the same way. So I think something that's helped me a lot is, one, you know, being very reliable, but also having a personality that people want to be around. And, you know, in my past world, when I was hiring staff, I, you know, if all things were equal, or even if maybe someone had a little less experience, if they were someone I wanted to spend time with, mm-hmm. then I wanted to hire them. And I think that's the same thing in our industry, because you spend a lot of time with people that you're helping to buy or sell a property, and they want to spend that time too with someone. They don't want to see your number and be like, oh no, Judy's handling me. They're like, yay, it's Judy. And so many times, you know, our deals end and my clients are still calling me like, now, you know, now what? Like, I miss talking to you, you know? So, so I think, you know, personality is really a big part, and just being a good listener.
Yes, and I also say, particularly for somebody positive and some positive attitude, that can be very, it's attractive to people, actually.
Right, right. And of course, there has to be something behind that. You can't be like a movie set with a, you know, nothing of substance. And of course, you know, being very disciplined and, yes. you know, making the right calls and being, you know, that advocate for my clients is also incredibly important, in them understanding that I'm there for them. But, you know, just in the more getting the clients, I think is about personality and listening.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
If you could have one superpower, what it would be?
That would definitely be a photographic memory. I think that, you know, I read a lot of important things, and I see a lot of numbers and figures, and I have to write them all down because
yes,
I can't keep them in my mind. So that's what I would like to have.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking for myself, and like most of the people, I say, I would like to fly. Yes, but actually now you tell me this. Yes, me too, because I also have to note everything. I have to take picture of everything, because
yes.
Mega, it can help so much, because, yeah, I unfortunately but, don't have it either.
I know. And I feel like, you know, I've always loved to be the expert, and it's sometimes hard to be the expert when you forget the small details.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't sound like expert.
It's okay. Right. I have to look in my book and say, okay, that's the facts.
I have this horrible things. I'm very bad to remembering people's names.
Yes,
I don't know how to fix it, because it's very important. That just like, what's his name?
Right. I mean, they say you're supposed, when you meet someone, you're yeah. supposed to say, hello, Elena. It's so yeah. nice to meet you, Elena. And then yes. you repeat their names. But then, of course, if you don't see them for 6 months, you're not necessarily remembering.
Yeah.
You know.
Sometimes it's just that. And especially for the last names.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Especially last That's names. And it's very important too sometimes. So, yeah. So it's just like, if you know a trick to how to run it, it will be great, because it's my mistake sometimes.
All right. I'm going to look into it. I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Thank you. A tricky question. What if you could go back and turn back in time and to begin 18 years old? What would you tell him?
You know, I think I would tell myself to really be in the moment. And I remember once, you know, I was 12 or 13, maybe even a little younger. And, I was in an art class, and I was talking to the art teacher about how I couldn't wait to be in high school. And, you know, she said to me like, you know, enjoy your time now. And I was thinking, well, there's nothing to enjoy now. I want to be older. I want this, I want that. And I think, you know, I would just tell myself to just chill out a little bit. I mean, I had a lot of great adventures at 18 and beyond, but I think I would have liked to have been a little more present in the moment. And I kind of use that advice with myself now, that, you know, what I'm experiencing is for a purpose, and, you know, there's a lot of good in it, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned. And so I try to like just in this very chaotic world we live in, especially in New York City, I like to just take a breath and remind myself that, you know, living in the moment is really a way to be happy.
Yes, it's important. It's absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we always forget it. Myself, I also sometimes in a day, you know, with all this work and everything, you just stop, take a breath, enjoy the moment.
Right, exactly. And my watch tells me if I don't use my breathing app enough, it'll, you know, give me a little buzz and say a breath, of, you know, a breath a minute or a minute of breath a day or something, an hour is really helpful for you.
Yes, it can be very helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, what are you not very good at?
I would say sitting still.
I'm
very, like, I have a lot of energy and I find myself in a lot of different projects. And yeah, being peaceful, like I said, is a, you know, something I'm working on, but sitting still is challenging for me.
Yes, okay, I see. Okay, another tricky question.
Okay.
If you could have a dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Okay. You know, I want to preface that by saying that I feel very blessed that in my life I meet unbelievably interesting and accomplished and quirky people. And, you know, I think part of the fact that I'm very outgoing and I talk to people, I hear a lot of stories from people. And so I feel that almost every day or pretty much every day I'm meeting someone who is interesting. But if I had to pick three people of my choice, I would definitely pick Bruce Springsteen, who is my all-time favorite musician, not only because he's from New Jersey and that's where I'm from, but his music really resonates with me. I think that he's has a very strong social conscience. And he also is a connection between my mother, my sister, and myself because we're all huge fans. So
it
would be him. And he just reminds me of my childhood. His lyrics really like hit home with me. Another person that I respect greatly is Melissa Hartwig Urban. I'm not sure if you know her, but she created the Whole 30, which is, I wouldn't call it a diet, but it's just like a lifestyle of working to reduce inflammation in the body. So the foods that you eat and just your like mental space. I think in America, I'm going to go a little on a political tangent here, but I think that there's a lot of chemicals and, you know, processed foods that are in the food that we eat that you don't find in Europe, even in things that are quote natural, and our labeling is wrong and it's deceitful. And she really helped me open my eyes to
Yes. It's real. I mentioned it's a lot of processed food in the United States.
Right.
More than here.
Yes. And even things that are not processed, things that, you know, just picking up some cherries or something like that, they spray them with weed killer. And I remember hearing that, I mean, they found Roundup, the weed killer, in women's breast milk.
Oops. Oh my goodness. It means that that the toy is very, very high.
Right, right. So, you know, that, so she's very important to me in terms of just being healthy body, healthy mind, you know, that kind of thing. And then the other person is someone religious who is Desmond Tutu. And years ago, I read his book about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'm a little bit of a stubborn person. I like to think that I'm right pretty much all the time. And, you know, I was going through, my divorce was over, but I was just going through the process of understanding what that divorce meant to me and, you know, just who I was in that relationship and just my feelings about, you know, a failed marriage and things like that. And he really gave me permission to move on from that. And that, you know, he gives you these steps of forgiveness, and that for him, forgiveness is about forgiving yourself. And that just was a very powerful message to me, because we are trained that, you know, you do something to somebody and you ask them for forgiveness, but truly the forgiveness comes from within. And of course you want people to feel okay with the way you've behaved, but it's really about you moving along your journey and living with yourself and your decisions and your choices and your actions. And so that was just, his message was very important to me and really like sat with me. So Those are my three people.
I can see it, yes. As forgiveness is very important for you. So speaking of forgiveness, what is your best tip for making the world a better place?
I think, kindness, like do unto others, is really a value that I stand by. And, not just sitting by and watching as things happen, but taking as much of an active stance as you can. And, right now in America, we're going through a lot, and there's, some really terrible things. Yeah. Terrible things that are happening to people that are coming here to get, to escape circumstances and situations that are really horrible. And, I'm part of a group that we videotape things that are, when ICE shows up and if they're, trying to arrest people, we videotape and we call into a center, and I support organizations that are taking immigrants to their court hearings. And, America is supposed to be, we're all immigrants here. And, just understanding that every person makes a difference, it's something that I feel will make the world a better place. Additionally, I just lost my train of thought on that one, but there's so many different ways to look at situations. I think we have an education crisis in America as well. And in New York, there's been things going on. There are some specialized high schools that are very prestigious, and people are saying that the entrance exams for those schools are biased and unfair, that only, people who are wealthy have the opportunity to do well on the tests. And you know what? That's all true. But my question is, why aren't all schools great? Why are we all fighting to get into the same five schools? Every school should be great. And instead of all of us parents and all of us, people fighting each other, we should be joining hands and demanding that we have an education system where every school, every kid gets a great education. So, I think not buying into all of the propaganda and really looking at a situation and seeing how everybody can be successful. And it's like what you're saying and what we talked about in the beginning, that owning property is a way for everyone to be equal and everyone to have a stake and everyone to have an opportunity. And we need to do that with education, and we need to do that with outreach to other countries. I mean, if lots and lots of people are coming here because their countries are unsafe, how are we helping them to make their homeland a safe place? They don't want to be here. They're here because they have nowhere else to be. Everybody wants to be in the place where they've grown up, where they feel comfortable, where they have family, where they have roots and connections. They're coming here because they don't have that. How are we helping them get that where they're from?
Yes, I get it. It's still a big road, I think, especially about education, because yes, problem of education, it's I think they're everywhere. Here in Europe, we also have different types of school, but sometimes it depends on the city and region. Sometimes public school can be even better than privates.
Right.
It depends. It's unfortunately, it can be great if all the school system will be equal and all education partners will be the same everywhere, but we have still a long road for this.
Right. Not right. I agree. I definitely agree. But I feel like that should be the goal, not figuring out how to stuff more people into these, elite schools, but make more schools elite and make that the standard.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
So, what's next for you on the horizon? What is your next plan, your next project?
So in terms of real estate, it is definitely investing in properties that are not, for my use, but kind of like what we were talking about in the beginning. And I loved your advice for international investments, and that's now on my top five agenda. I'm also a jewelry designer, and I've put my jewelry business sort of on hold, but I'm figuring out a way to sort of connect my jewelry with the real estate. And also I do some consulting for product design and development, and kind of just making a whole entity, which is the Judy Liebman brand, so that I can I can be doing all the things that I love under one main umbrella. So
yeah, why not? It's great.
That's my goal. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yes, absolutely. So give us the best advice. What is your best advice you can give to the listeners?
I think, you know, being true to yourself, being your authentic self without, you know, a lot of walls and barriers will connect you to the life that you want. It will connect you to the people you want to be around. It will open up opportunities for you and will, you know, help you live the life that you're dreaming of, and that, you know, you put it out there and it all comes back to you. So you really have to be passionate about what you want and just let people know what you're all about.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So what is the best way to reach you?
So I can be reached many ways, but I'm pretty much attached to my phone.
I see.
So I can, so I can be reached either by text or by phone. Should I give my phone number? Is that okay? Or okay, sure. So 646-298-8775. I can also be reached at my website, which is through Engel and Folker. So that's Judith Liebman at evrealestate.com. I'm on social media at Instagram at lucky_star_NYC. And I think if you're hanging around in Brooklyn, you're bound to see me out and about as well. So you can find me all those ways. Or my daughter, who's like my second best publicist. She's always handing out my cards to everyone.
So thank you very much, Judy, for your time. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and see you next time.
Thank you so much, Elena. It was amazing speaking with you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
You too.
Okay, we hope you find this episode of The Roadmap to Wealth useful, and you can find this show notes at elenamorel.com. Until next time, have a great week. Thank you so much for spending the time listening in today's episode. See you next week on The Roadmap to Wealth podcast.